This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Lindsay White of Lexington, Kentucky, and you are listening to a special safety episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 25th, episode 877. This episode is brought to you by High Visibility North America. You can find them at highvisibilitysportswear.com. Good morning, Horse World.
So we want you to think safe, ride safe, and be safe.
Wait a minute, 99. That gives me an idea.
You got a helmet? Oh, I've got a helmet. I got a beauty.
All right, let's roll. Hey, let's be careful out there.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday morning here at Horses in the Morning. Welcome back, Lindsay, for your once a month debut here on Horses in the Morning.
Good morning.
And, of course, Lindsay is from Riders for Helmets and best known for that, for her work over the last several years, trying to keep everybody safe. And I'll tell you what, safety is a concern if you're driving anywhere in the north again.
Hey, don't forget the middle of the country. We've got a blizzard here in Kentucky today as well.
So you're snowing there right now, too? I knew the north.
We have a blizzard. It's probably an inch or two of snow on the ground already.
And it's just snowing like crazy, huh?
Yep, it is. Love it. You got to love it. Last week in March.
Yeah, we're almost in April. I mean, next week is April.
I know.
That's
scary.
Crazy. That's crazy, and I know I've seen a lot of our my Facebook friends from Michigan and up that way posting the pictures of their snow and how everybody is just really, really sick of this right now.
That would be me included.
You know, spring will come for most of the country at a certain time. When we lived in Massachusetts, we always said spring arrived about June and winter arrived about July. So it was just seemed like they had about 1 or 2 months of summer, and that was it. It just seemed that way anyway. We're wearing your coat right up to June, and then you put your coat back on by the end of August. I don't miss that, by the way. I don't miss your snow, Lindsay. I saw it when I was there 2 weeks ago. I don't miss it.
Yeah, well, I think I'm definitely coming to visit you and Jennifer, because I'll do anything. I'll muck scooter out, do anything, but I don't want to stay here.
Jennifer, what's coming up with today's episode? We have some terrific guests today.
On today's special Safety Tuesday by High Visibility North America, we start out with an update from the poster child for safety equipment in the horse world, Boyd Martin. And you will be finding his new Kevlar-reinforced shin guards for equestrians in tack shops near you this fall. And then next up, Marsha Hartford Sapp stops by for a chat about helmets breaking the Western barrier. And in betwixt, a safety savvy quiz. We'll see if Glenn can up his score quotient from last month. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. And I have two daily winnies today. My first daily winnie goes out to you, Lindsay, for putting up with me when I stayed at your house for Road to the Horse. And also, we're going to be doing the same again while we're at Rolex, and Jennifer and I just want to thank you for that. We appreciate it.
You were incredibly good house guest. Jennifer, I was quite amazed because I went into the bedroom because it's freezing cold in that front bedroom to see how cold it was, because I was so concerned that my guest would go and tell everybody that my house was freezing. And every day he made the bed, he neatly folded the towels in the guest bathroom, and he left his shoes at the front door and always took his shoes off. I was like, you are most welcome to come again. He's very well trained, Jennifer. I've got to hand it to you. You really have him well trained. Even when he used dishes in the kitchen, they went in the dishwasher. I was like, blimey, that's better than I do.
I see.
Very well
trained. The only reason, Lindsay, was because we wanted to be invited back. That's the only reason.
Well, you guys are coming back to see me next month, so, right? You're going to come and stay.
Yes, you're going to come and stay with you at Rolex, so, yep. We're looking forward to that. But, yes, thank you very much. And, you know, somebody has to do the housework around here because it's not Jennifer. So, you know, that's how I learned.
Hey!
I have another daily wish. My second daily Winnie goes out to another Lindsay. This is Lindsay Yandon, who is the marketing and social media person for HITS. Of course, HITS is the big show jumping that happens here in Ocala. And they had the great American $1 million Grand Prix last night, and Lindsay called and invited us, Jennifer and I, to come over and watch, and was very nice and got us good seats, and we had a great time while we were there. And we'll talk more about the show itself tomorrow and our impressions of that, but it was well turned out. I think half of Ocala came out last night to watch it, and it was a lot of fun. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow, but thank you, Lindsay, for the invite, and we appreciate your hospitality. And I think that's it for Daily Winnies. I just have one show note here before we get on to the safety show for today, and that is tomorrow on the Equity MFG Celebrity Trivia Challenge. We do have a jumper rider, Grand Prix rider, Emily Thompson, will be the celebrity tomorrow. She will be coming on to compete against one of our listeners in the Celebrity Trivia Challenge. We did see Emily and her husband there last night. They were there watching. She wasn't competing, but she was watching. So we ran into her, and she'll be coming on tomorrow to do the Celebrity Trivia Challenge. So we're looking forward to having her on. She's a lot of fun. All right, that's it. That's all I have for housekeeping stuff. We are good to go. So, Lindsay, you have another quiz for me?
I do. You did so well on that quiz last month because, you know, I think Jennifer, to be fair, I think, you know, that was a little rotten saying he was only going to get 3 out of 10. I had more confidence, I will say. I do believe I said you would get 7 out of 10. I can't remember if you got 7 or 8, but you definitely had a good score on the quiz. So I thought that was so much fun, even though it was a terrible quiz. I thought I'd give you another one today that I think is a little more challenging. So I'm not quite – I think I'm going to hedge my bets here and say, well, let me see how many questions there is first. See? Hang on. There's a lot of questions. I don't know if I'm going to go through all of these. There's 20 questions, but if we don't get through them all, I'm going to say you're going to get 50% of the questions right, however many we get through.
Okay. You're making me work on my own show. You realize that, don't you?
It's good, though. What do you think you'll get, Jennifer, on this one?
You have 20 questions?
Yeah.
I think he's going to get 8.
8. Wow. Not even 50%. That's not a vote of confidence, is it, there?
She doesn't have very much confidence in me, does she?
That's true. Fair point.
That is true. I didn't think about that. Yeah, I'm even lowering expectations for myself. All right, go ahead. Shoot.
All right. Drum roll. Question number one. As long as your gear hasn't gotten soaked as by rain, a thorough cleaning once every 3rd month or so will keep it in good condition. True or false?
Oh, you can tell. Are you kidding me? See, now, if you're going by Pony Club regulations, there's no true or false to that one. It's you clean it every week. Or you clean it every day you use it. You don't wait 3 months. And tell that's a Western rider that said that. I'm just kidding. No, don't send your email.
True or false? The answer is true or false,
Brian. true. And with the caveat that you should do it more often than that.
It's false, because you were correct in your answer that you should clean it more often, about every 2 weeks or so. So you should have stuck with your original thought process there.
It was a trick question.
It was not. You said the right answer, but then you just selected the wrong. You said, I don't know why you said true when your answer
All
was
right,
really
now
false.
All right, now I know. Now I know there's going to be trick questions.
All right, number two. Even with a dead broke horse, it's worth always taking the time to tie properly with a quick release knot or safe tying ring. True or false?
True. That's true.
That is correct. That was, in fairness, that was a little easy one, because even if it's a dead broke horse, any horse can spook at any time. So I'm going to say that was a very easy question. I'm not going to give you much kudos for getting that one right.
And we've had our dead broke horses that we haven't tied and have occasionally walked off on us. So haven't we, Jennifer?
No, that never happens. That never happens.
Beaker's been known to do that. Beaker's been known to just walk off and, you know, to check out the hay room and things like that while Jennifer's tacking him up, because he's so good most of the time, but then there's that one time when he decides he's hungry.
All right, number three. If your normally well-mannered horse suddenly pushes into your space while you're leading him back to his stall, ignore it. He's earned the right to be a horse. Is that really even a question? True or false?
I can't believe this. You're on a roll to have your second crappy quiz. I'm going to say that's false.
That would be right. Wow. Yes. I actually thought this was a good quiz. I guess I didn't read past the first question. I think
okay.
They're getting a little better. I have hope. There's 16 more questions, so
I'm
hopefully there's
good
one in here somewhere. Who's keeping score, by the way?
Jennifer is. I got one wrong so far.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm doing good.
You can reasonably expect a mature, experienced horse to stand quietly while you cinch him up quickly. True or false?
You can reasonably expect a mature, quiet horse while you cinch him up. Well, yeah, true. It's a reasonable
false
expectation.
False.
I expect
he's
my horse to stand quietly if he's reasonable.
Well, he's given it a false. His logic, okay, hear me out on this one. This is not my quiz, disclaimer. What you can reasonably expect by cinching up quickly is to cause him to feel trapped and claustrophobic, which eventually will make him cinchy, nervous, and reactive at saddling time.
I think I bypassed the quickly in my mind. I think that was the key word there. I bypassed that. Okay, I can see what he's saying.
You know why, Glenn?
Wrong.
You have training.
Yes.
You have to cinch up your pony quickly because he's moving about, and if you don't do it quickly, he's going to
yes
be on the other side of the barn.
Yeah, see, I'm used to cinching up a moving target. That makes it a whole different ball game. You have to if you don't cinch him up quickly, the harness is on the ground. So I think that's the difference between
fairness,
a hackney.
As you go forward on this quiz, in fairness, you might
yes
think of it from the fact that remember, Clinton is trying to sell you a DVD or his training method or a whip or something. Just saying.
Okay.
Just saying.
I'll keep that in mind.
Just throwing that out there. All right, number five. Thorough, regular grooming will improve the texture and shine of your horse's hair coat. This is the single most important reason to make grooming a part of your daily regime. Where did that come into a safety quiz about grooming? I'm confused.
I don't know. I'm going to say true to that one.
I'm very confused. I thought this was a safety quiz. What is going wrong here? Something's going horribly wrong.
When you were in your previous career, I know that you went out and did a couple of clinic, or I know you went out and had a booth at one of these guys. Was it Clinton Anderson that you used to work with?
It was, we used to do Lynn Palm.
Lynn Palm, okay. I wasn't
yeah
sure who it was. I knew it was somebody. Yeah. I couldn't remember who.
Lynn Palm.
All right, go ahead.
Do you want the answer to that one before we move on?
It was true.
He's saying false. The most
what
important the most important reason for daily grooming is to check your horse for nicks, cuts, and bumps that might develop into unsoundness or cause him to be unsafe to ride. You've got to hand it to him. It's not just about the horse looking shiny. There is actually a reason why you groom them to look for cuts, etc. I would actually
another
say that was a very fair answer.
Question. That's a trick question the way it was written.
I have a protest on that one. You can,
right,
you can check your horse thoroughly for nicks, cuts, and scrapes that might cause discomfort or unsoundness
without grooming. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well,
yeah,
like I said, Jennifer, it's a crap quiz, whatever.
Send your hate mail to Clinton at ClintonAnderson.com.
You know what's the really funny thing? While I'm now going through this quiz, there's a bunch of people that on the website that I've pulled this wonderful quiz from that have written all these comments, and basically it's the same thing we're saying. It's rather entertaining. All right, moving on.
Well,
so somebody's got to be keeping...
This is kind of, now, it's kind of fun now picking it apart, so go ahead.
Somebody better be keeping count here, because I'm not. I'm the quiz master, so I'm not keeping count. All right. Horses have a blind spot directly in front of and directly behind them, so you must take extra care when working in or near these areas.
I know there's one behind.
Oh, come on, Glenn.
Well, I've got to say true.
I thought this
just
was
because
actually this was an easy question.
Yeah, I've got to say true.
That's correct.
Okay,
horses,
but I was trying to figure out where.
Yay!
I was trying to figure out how he made that one into a trick question, and I couldn't come up with anything. So, all right.
No. All right. No. That was actually an okay question. All right, at least it was about safety. Whatever. All right, number seven. We're already at number seven. Wow. For leading and tying, concrete can be a safe surface for horses.
No, because I have false. And Jennifer's horse-shaped dent in the top of her – horse hoof-shaped dent in the top of her head where she had 14 staples is proof of that.
Well, Clinton Anderson does not agree with you.
Okay. Jennifer's horseshoe-shaped staples in the top of her head will disagree with Clinton Anderson as her horse slipped on the concrete, fell down, she ended up between its legs, and it kicked her in the top of the head, and she needed 14 staples, and there was a lot of blood. Let's hear what Clinton has to say.
Yeah. Clinton the Master has to say, go buy his DVD.
We're gonna
it's
get
true.
From Clinton Anderson, you know that?
Yes, right.
We're probably going to
hear from
him.
What did I do? He's going to write and say, what did I do to you guys?
I know, seriously. We're going to be in deep doo-doo here. All right, so he said, true, but only if certain circumstances apply. For example, the concrete is dry and has a rough surface for traction. Never tie a shod horse on smooth concrete, especially if it's wet. But
oh.
If the concrete's blooming wet, the horse is going to sink in it. What sort of an answer is that? Really?
He didn't say if the concrete was, you know, oh, geez. I think I get half credit for that one. Jennifer's head gives me half credit. I had to see her bleeding everywhere, so I get half credit just for that.
That was a joke about
poor Glenn, you're
That
I
was
know
one of the
wet,
most traumatic. That, I've seen Jennifer get broken arms, broken legs, broken everything, but, you know, that was one of the most traumatic things that I think I ever had to do. Let's take her to the hospital with that head injury.
Don't be doing that again, Jennifer.
No.
I've made every effort to not repeat that experience. Thank you. Yes.
Good.
It wasn't much fun for her either.
All right, number eight. It's worth the effort to teach your horse to stand patiently in place while you mount up.
Oh, that's a toughie. I don't know.
I'm going to say, in Clinton's logic, it must be false.
Now,
Glenn. This is supposed to be a serious quiz because you're supposed to be trying to beat your percentage on last month's quiz. So come on.
Right,
would you like to revise that? Thank you.
True.
Really? But I will give it to him here. Not only will it make you safer as you mount, it's also just good basic discipline for your horse. So how to do it, see the final installment of my Ground Manners short course in the issue of Horse and Rider, and buy my DVD. No, I added the DVD bit there. Just joking. I just. All right, number nine. Once you've checked carefully for the proper fit of a new saddle or bridle, you can rest easy going forward knowing your horse is comfortable in his new gear.
Oh, you should know this one, Glenn.
We were at the, We were at the Live Oak over the weekend, and we saw many, many harness issues of harnesses breaking, reins breaking, things breaking. We were at the show last night, and they had the part. Well, the
Martingale snack, yeah.
Oh, yeah, one of the martingales snapped and was flapping around. That horse didn't do so well jumping 5-foot fences with the martingale flapping around. So I'm going to say whatever. Well, now I forget even what the question was. True, you should check your stuff. You can make sure it's good.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Well, actually, you're correct because he's saying once you've checked it, you're good. So that would be false. So you saying true. What you're saying is that you should check it every time you ride.
Yes, because we saw evidence over the weekend of what happens when you don't.
That's correct. Right. All right. How many have you got now, Jennifer? How's he doing?
Currently, he has 4 correct and 5 incorrect.
All right.
Not even 50%.
Yeah, he's not doing so this time.
All right. Moving on.
Clinton's fault.
But go buy his DVD and I'll be good.
Send your hate mail to Lindsay.
Okay, listen up, people. We don't have anything against Clinton Anderson. It's a comedy bit. We're having some fun this
morning. Is this what this whole show is about?
Is
comedy. And if Clinton can't take a joke, you know, don't. What's that phrase? If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. Seriously.
Isn't Clinton the Australian one? Isn't he the Australian one?
He is. I'm sure he's perfectly nice as well.
Yeah, actually, he can take a joke. He's Australian. They're all funny. So, okay, go ahead.
That's right. All right. What you just have to do to make it up to him is just put a link to
him. I say that right before Boyd Martin comes on the show.
Yeah, we better be careful. Boyd might be listening. Better be careful.
They're probably best friends or something.
Yeah, I know. Boyd won't be our guest today now. All right. All right, let's be nice now, okay?
All right.
Once you've placed the saddle on the paddle blanket, it's okay to slide the whole thing back an inch or two, if necessary, to position it properly on your horse's back.
Oh, see, now I'm trying to think of what kind of trick question he made this one. I've seen Jennifer do it a lot. So
I'm
going to say
it's not a trick question, this one.
True.
It is true. Well done. We can slide it back, but never forward.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Well, as I was saying, what a great quiz this is.
You're at 50% now. Woohoo!
I love intelligent quizzes like this. Don't forget to put a link to his DVD on your Facebook page, for heaven's sake. All right. All right, number 11. The single most important thing you can do to stay safe in the saddle is to lunge your horse before mounting to take the fresh out.
Well, you know,
that's a trick question. Trick question, this one.
Depends on the horse.
Yeah, it depends on the horse. It's a question. I'm thinking about what Clinton might say, and they love lunging their horses. I'm going to say true.
No.
They don't love lunging their horses as much as I thought.
The most important thing to do to remain safe.
Oh, no.
Wait, get this one. Please digest this fully. The most important thing to do to remain safe is to think before you ride, and to get your horse thinking and focused on you as well. Groundwork that requires his feet to move in various directions will activate the thinking side of his brain as well as take the edge off his energy. And on some days, it may be best not to ride at all. Stopping to think things through in advance helps you make the right decision and stay safe. I have no comment.
I don't either. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
I don't want Clinton doing this, so go to the next one.
I can't explain. This is such a great quiz. If Glenn, full disclaimer here,
I've
asked you
well.
Twice now to put,
well,
I've asked you now, twice now
in,
to put
in
his DVD on your Facebook page.
Oh,
it's
go ahead,
a valid
Jennifer.
Point.
Clinton.
It's a valid point.
Yeah.
For some folks and some horses on some days, you're better off just not to get on.
Yeah, like I probably shouldn't have driven my pony the other day if he stomped me on the foot. But see, by that point, I was like, okay, you're stomping me on the foot. Now you are going driving. See, that was my mentality.
I just want to say something to all the listeners, Glenn, Jennifer. Can I just say something to all the listeners?
Yes.
If there's no Horses in the Morning show tomorrow, being Wednesday, it's because Glenn and Jennifer received a letter from Clinton Anderson's lawyer this afternoon and we're no longer on the air. Just saying.
Hey, he's getting a half an hour of free press here. I mean,
all and you're going to put a link to his DVD on your
Facebook
page.
We're going to put a link to his DVD on the Facebook page. Jennifer's going to do that right now. That's right.
Do that, Jennifer.
ClintonAnderson.com.
Say how wonderful it is, please. Thank you.
All right. Actually, it's not a bad quiz. I have to rethink my thinking. All right, next one.
We just have humor. That's all on this show. Okay. There's more than one reason why your horse might refuse to do what you've asked of him. If you're sure that you're cueing him properly, then you should rule out a physical cause of his reluctance before proceeding with training.
True. How could that not be true?
That is true. That is true. That wasn't a trick question. That's true. It's pretty obvious. Yeah. All right, number 13. You should remain alert at all times while trail riding and take extra care with even mundane things such as handing an item to another rider.
True.
That is true, because you never know what might spook your horse.
That's right, yep. Especially when you're handing a whip back and forth.
All right, number 14. When your horse is disrespectful with you, you must let him know you're angry and displeased so he'll be able to tell when he's done something wrong.
He doesn't say how to do that. So,
even my cat was meowing at that one.
Yeah, I heard that.
Meow!
Meow, I didn't do anything. I'm sorry. All right, let's make this the last question for this segment, and I'm going to say it is true.
False.
Oh, okay. See, I was
correct your horse firmly and decisively, but without anger. Anger makes you seem like a predator and would only rattle and confuse your horse.
Now, did he say angry in the question?
He did, yeah.
Oh, okay. I missed that part. All right. I'm sorry. I should pay attention more. Okay. I didn't get the angry part. No, I'd never get angry at the horse. So, yes, I agree. False.
All right. How many did you get, Jennifer?
Oh, she's actually calling our guest. She's calling our guest. We'll have to get a report later. We'll continue with the rest of these later on in the show.
All
but
right.
First, I apologize to Clinton Anderson. Actually, we have nothing against Clinton Anderson. We're just having a little fun with your test there. I have to get Clinton on as a celebrity for Celebrity Trivia Challenge. Sometime we'll have him play trivia. And I have to answer some of Jennifer's tough questions. We'll see how that goes. But first, I have to tell you about our sponsor for this half hour. It's High Visibility North America, the exclusive distributor for UK's number one high visibility performance sportswear range for equestrian horses and canines. And they're having a spring promotion. Already the preferred choice of in the UK of thousands of equestrians, numerous mounted police forces, and even the Queen's Household Cavalry. Don't miss your opportunity to grab a fabulous Aspie jacket or the quilted jacket at up to 50% off. This entire range is not only functional in that it will keep you safe, whether you're riding in the woods, on the road, or out on the trail, but is also fashionable, meaning everyone from eventers to dressage and Western riders love it. Actually, I saw a lot of people purchasing these at Road to the Horse last weekend. There's a lot of people now in Kentucky and Tennessee that are wearing the high visibility sportswear products. Jennifer and I wear the vests every single time we go out on the road with the horses. And one of the things that we have found is that people slow down much, much better than if you're not wearing the safety vest or the jacket. They just slow down. I think it's a natural instinct when you see that, you think of police and construction workers and stuff like that, and the natural instinct is for people to slow down. I don't know if you've had other people tell you that, Lindsay, but that is one of the big things that we have noticed that I think makes it just worth wearing.
That's right, definitely. And it's not just Kentucky and Tennessee. It's all over the country now.
Yeah, that's true. So visit them at highvisibilitysportswear.com to check out the promotion. They do have a lot of the jackets, but we're coming into spring and summer, and they have the vests and other things that will suit any one of those seasons. High Visibility Sportswear. HiViz.com. Well, Jennifer is now attempting to get our first guest on the line here. And I just wanted to mention also, I wanted to thank all of our auditors for signing up. We appreciate that. If you want to become a part of the Horse Radio Network family, you can do so for as little as $1 a month. We have all kinds of incentives that we are doing with the auditors, and a couple of them that they're going to find out about here very shortly. And you can find all of that at horsesinthemorning.com. The middle of the page, you'll find a big link. And Jennifer's attempting now to
Boyd. And Glenn and Jennifer, if you just check your email, I just got a message through about Boyd. So if you just want to check your email, I just sent you guys an email on that. So okay. In the meantime, let's do another quiz question, Glenn.
All right. I'm ready.
All right. We're going to carry on with the quiz. Okay. So let me find my wonderful, brilliant, best ever Clinton Anderson quiz. Okay, what number do we end on? Number 14, I think. All right, number 15 on the quiz, continuing on. If, on a given day, your horse is on the muscle and hard to control while you're riding him in an arena, a good solution is to take him out on the trail where a change of scenery can help him relax.
True.
False. You're less safe outside. Fix misbehavior in the arena, then go out.
Well, that kind of makes sense. It looks like what this is all coming down to is I need to buy Clinton Anderson's DVD myself.
I know. Apparently. I've been telling you that. I tell you what, Clinton, never mind suing, should be thanking me. I've mentioned his DVD at least 10 times in the last half an hour. Really? I think I deserve some royalties on the sales of that from the show. I mean, he's getting some mega free promotion here. The wonderful Clinton Anderson DVD, available at clintonanderson.com.
And believe it or not, this is not a paid commercial, as you can probably tell. All right, go ahead.
No, but I'm going to send him an invoice after the show. All right, number 16. Sneakers can be appropriate footwear for riding, true or false?
Well, they're going to say false to that because they all wear cowboy boots.
Sorry.
You're reading the answer for it too.
The answer is true. Riding sneakers with an adequate heel are appropriate for riding.
Nothing about cowboy boots?
Oh my gosh, sorry. Number 17. If a horse is trying to run off with you, your best way to stop him is to use a strong take and release action on the reins, rather than a steady pull that he can brace against.
That is true. That's even true in driving.
False. What you need in this situation, yeah, right, hear me out here. What you need in this situation is the one-stop rein. See Clinton's how-to instruct the one rein stop, sorry. One rein stop. One rein stop. Because if you break a rein, you're supposed to be able to stop your horse with one rein. I knew that. And Clinton says, for more information, see his DVD available at clintonanderson.com. He didn't really say that. I'm just having fun there. I'm having a laugh. My cat's meowing at that one.
Well, Jennifer has an update here. What's the update?
The update is that Boyd is heavily medicated and is having a difficult time getting a sentence together, so it's probably not a good time to do a radio interview.
Oops. Okay. Well, we can certainly understand that. Boyd's still – for those that don't know, Boyd Martin is an eventer. If you listen to the show regularly, you'll know because we cover it. But Boyd Martin is an eventer. His wife is a dressage rider. She had an accident a while back with a head injury and is now in rehab back in Pennsylvania trying to recover from that. Has a little ways to go. She's having trouble seeing and with coordination and things. Boyd had an accident over the weekend where he smashed his knee against a cross-country jump when his horse ducked out on him and busted up his shin really good and is in the hospital from that. So I guess that's where the heavy amount of drugs comes in. Boyd is funny by himself. I can't imagine with some silly drugs what he would be like.
Probably best we don't have him on. He might have a reaction to our Clinton Anderson quiz, and that might be non-publishable on air.
You know,
we'd be hitting the beep button.
on a serious note, because this is the safety show, you know, she did say that, and her doctor said that without her helmet, she'd be dead pretty much. It would be a different story.
Yeah.
And, you know, she is one of the dressage riders that actually does wear a helmet. She was not competing at the time, right? She was just working with one of the horses.
I believe she was just schooling, yeah. And I have to say, we've been following that on Riders for Helmets. And, you know, we do wish Silver a complete full recovery, of course. And all joking aside with the quiz and everything else this morning about safety, Boyd and Silver have been amazing advocates of safety. They really, really have, and done so much, you know, especially with Silver being born as well, because it's not entirely the norm for leading dressage riders in Germany to wear a helmet. Some of them are, but not all of them. So it's really kudos to her that she had a helmet on, and obviously it saved her from much more serious injury. And Boyd has been an advocate and wearing helmets for dressage and, you know, everything else as well. So, you know, big, big shout out to them both. And you can follow Silver's progress because we keep putting blog posts on ridersforhelmets.com as well. And obviously on Boyd and Silver's website too. So get well soon, both of them, Boyd and Silver. And hopefully maybe next month we can get them on the show and have an update from both of them.
And, you know, Boyd did have, there was an update from our last report here on the show. He had to go into surgery yesterday, and they put a rod in his leg. He actually drove from, this was in Southern Pines where he got the, I think it's Southern Pines, right, Jennifer? Yeah. Where he had the accident. He was at the hospital there. They completely put his leg in this splint and cast, and then he drove, not by himself, but somebody drove him from there back to Pennsylvania so he could go to his local hospital where they know him by name because he's had so many accidents and surgeries. And he said, when I walked in, they were all like, oh, Boyd's back. And he saw his orthopedic surgeon there, and the surgeon said, you're going into surgery right away. And as far as I know, he had the surgery yesterday to put a rod in his leg. So that's how bad the break was.
Yeah, well, we wish both of them a complete speedy recovery. And,
you know,
like I say, we'll try and get them on next month and get an update from both. That'd be great.
I highly recommend Boyd. He even admitted in his blog post that he's had a few more accidents than the norm for his age. And, you know, I'm kind of recommending one of those hockey goalie outfits, you know, that have the pads from head to toe. That might be the best bet for when riding cross country from now on. Just saying. We're talking about safety, right? Well, how much safer could you be? Now, your mobility is going to be a little tough. Steering and, you know, leg control might be a little tough, but you'd be safe.
They just need one of those inflatable helmets like we talked about on last month's show.
He needs inflatable leg protection,
inflatable body suit. Obviously the body protectors they have, but one that covers your entire body, not just the core
right?
of the body.
Do you think they could make it so it knows through I don't know, some kind of sensor that when your horse ducks out on a jump, that the whole thing would just go pfft? What do you think?
Maybe, yeah.
I'm thinking the pop might cause your horse to just dump you, even if he were still aboard. But, you know, I think actually he would have, from what I understand, he would have stayed on this one. The horse ducked out on a corner jump, and his leg hit the corner of the jump is what happened. And I think his horse, I think he probably would have stayed on from what I heard, but it was when he hit his leg and broke it, which can you imagine the pain of that? We all hit our shin on stuff, and it just hurts like hell. And then to have that happen where you're smashing it against a solid jump, oh, my gosh.
Well, Amber was actually telling me last night that the reason he got obviously straight up to his local hospital immediately was risk of infection. Because can you imagine if you've kind of got, want to hang around with that?
Yeah.
That done with you.
It was open on the out. Boyd is always good at posting pictures of his injury. And he posted a picture of his leg. And it was cut and open. So, yeah, I can see why they would have been worried about that. All right, well, let's get off of Clinton Anderson as list here. Thank you, Clinton, for providing us some entertainment this morning and some good knowledge, too, because and obviously I need to get the DVDs because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And I have never said I do, so anybody who listens to this show knows that I have never said I do. I have a list for you. You had that list. I have a list, too. So my
What's your list, Glenn?
my list is about horse safety as well. This is you were talking about rider safety. I'm going to talk about horse safety. And Dr. Getty, Dr. Julia Getty, who I think has been on our show before, hasn't she, Jennifer? That sounds very familiar. I think she has. She's a veterinarian and an equine nutritionist. And she did a list of the things, and we love talking about this occasionally. We haven't talked about it in a while, of the things that are safe to feed your horses for treats. So, and some of these, it's like, I would have never thought to feed my horse that in the first place. But here are the things that are safe to feed your horses, and I'll tell you about some of the things that are not safe to feed your horses. Okay, so things that are safe.
Hey, just before you go through the list.
Yeah, go ahead.
Before we go through the list, I had a horse that used to drink beer.
Let me see if that's safe. Yes, all horses should be allowed to drink beer. It says right here on Dr. Getty's list.
See, I knew it was good for my horse. I knew that.
Actually, it doesn't
I didn't
say
really.
Anything about that.
Do you know what's really
there
funny?
Are a lot
is
of horses
I used to,
drink beer.
Used to set a beer, plastic, obviously, not glass, mug on the side by the table. The horse would literally, clearly, I drink while I'm tacking up the horse in the middle of the day. No, I'm joking. Joke. Don't do this at home, readers, listeners. And the horse literally used to take in his lips the plastic beer mug and tip it back and drink the beer. I'm not joking. True story.
You had an alcoholic horse.
I did.
Was that one of your vent horses?
No, it wasn't.
No, it had to be a fox hunter because, you know, I think the fox hunting horses like to drink as much as the fox hunters.
Yeah, it was.
Fox hunter. Yeah, see? Yeah. I knew that. Had to be a fox hunter.
All right, now
Jennifer,
you can continue. Sorry for the interruption.
Do your fox hunting horses drink alcohol?
You kidding? We ain't sharing that stuff. You only get that teeny weeny little flask. It's got to last you for hours. I'm not sharing it with my horse.
See, that was my reaction when the horse drank the beer. I was like, really? That was not for you.
I know there's a lot of race horses. Who was it, Jennifer, that won the Triple Crown recently, one of the Triple Crown races that got a beer every day? Can't remember it right now, but... Yeah.
Any of our listeners that know, post that on the Facebook, which horse it was,
yeah,
the race
I can't
horse,
remember.
As part of the Triple Crown that was drinking the beer.
Can't remember which one it was. Anyway, so here's things that you can safely feed your horses. Apples, well, we all know that one. And, of course, they give the caveat here that you should cut it up small enough for the horse to actually eat it and not choke on it. Apricots, but take the pit out first. Never given my horse an apricot. Can honestly say that. Bananas. And this says including the peel. Now, this is one we were surprised at. Remember when we talked about this years ago on the show, Jennifer, and we asked people to post what's the strangest thing that they've fed their horses? A lot of people feed them bananas. Yeah, that one came up a lot. Beets. Who ever goes out and gives their horse a beet? I've never done that. Maybe because we don't beets in the house because I don't like them. Berries. Berries apparently are good for your horses. Yeah?
Your horse gets beets every day. He gets beet pulp.
Is that actually made out of beets?
It's made from a different kind of beet than she's talking about, I think.
It is a different kind of beet. Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I didn't, it's not red like beets. See, I thought if it would have been made out of real beets, it would be red like beets. Although I never did think about the fact that beet pulp might be made out of beets. That never occurred to me. I don't know why. Just thought it was a name. So what is it made out of, beet pulp?
What? Beet pulp? Beets. Sugar beets.
Sugar beets. Okay. So they mustn't be red because beet pulp's not red.
Okay. We'll go with that, Glenn.
Okay. All right. Berries. Carrots. We all know about carrots. Celery. I never thought about giving my horse the leftover celery. Cherries. Coconut.
Cherries?
Cherries, apparently, okay for horses. Now, she does give a caveat here that some of these things are very high in sugar. So if you have a horse that shouldn't be getting a lot of sugar, don't give them these fruits. Coconut. Dates. Pitted dates. And she does say also take all the pits out of the whatever you get them. Raisins. I don't know. Have you ever tried to give your horse raisins? I've never tried that.
You can buy those prefabricated little bran mash things that have raisins in them.
Well, there you go. Grapefruit. I never thought to give my horse grapefruit. By the way,
grapefruit.
Who wants
really?
And if you're not supposed to give him the peel, if he's not going to eat the peel, who wants? grapefruit's hard enough to cut out of those little triangle things, to cut all the grapefruit out of little triangle things for yourself. I'm certainly not going to do it for my horse. That's for sure. grapefruit's a high-energy fruit. Lettuce. I never thought about lettuce either. Lemons. Limes. Mango. That's an expensive treat right there, mango. Melon. I do know that. And watermelon rind is supposed to be very good for your horse. And a lot of people in that survey we did gave watermelon rind. A lot of people do that. We could never get our horses to eat them, could we, Jennifer? We can't get them to eat watermelon rind.
Yeah, maybe they're just not hungry enough.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Oranges, peaches, pears, peanuts. And
peanuts.
You give your horse.
I've never saw peanuts.
I know. You know, and it says roasted, never raw. So I would have thought it would have been raw, not roasted. But apparently roasted peanuts are okay. Raw peanuts are not. So there, you learned something today. Pineapple. Once again, I am not sharing my pineapple with anybody. If I've got a good pineapple, I'm eating it all. I love it.
The only place for pineapple is on top of a pizza, just saying.
With ham. I like pineapple and ham on a pizza. Plums. Squash. And get this one, sweet potatoes.
Wow.
Yeah, I never knew about the sweet potato thing. Tangerines. And watermelon, including the rind. So there you go. There are all the things that are okay. Now, these are things that are bad for your horses. Chocolate. And I didn't realize this. Like dogs, horses are sensitive to the toxic chemical theobromine found in chocolate.
I take offense to that.
Why?
Well, back in the day, I grew up near Hershey, Pennsylvania. And back in the day, you used to be able to buy the factory seconds. They would take all the factory seconds and they threw them in this giant machine that shredded them all up into basically a powder from all the candy bars that were seconds. And you could buy it by the pound. You buy like a 500-pound container full of it. And they used to feed it to the racehorses to zip them up. Now, I'm not saying it was good for the horse, but they ate it with no apparent ill effect.
They all died at 5 years old.
Yeah. And after a while, the scientists caught up and it started causing positive drug tests when they fed them a lot of chocolate. But that's interesting that they're, quote, sensitive to it, yet they apparently they're sensitive to it in a woohoo kind of a way.
Well, there you go. I'm going to go with Dr. Getty and say don't feed your horses chocolate. And by the way, we have a Don Dean piped in and said not a Triple Crown horse. Benson Yada had a bottle of Guinness beer every day. I knew it was popular that we had a horse that did that. Thank you, Don. This is another one that you want to avoid. Milk and milk products. Do not feed ice cream, cheese, and even yogurt. Grown horses are lactose intolerant. As Dr. Getty cautions, your horse will get diarrhea, and she adds with a twinkle, he will not like you. There you go. I didn't know that. You know, we had a lot of people in our survey that fed ice cream, didn't we, Jennifer? That fed them ice cream on the way home.
Yeah.
Like, got a McDonald's
imagine,
ice cream.
I imagine a lick off your cone isn't so bad. You know.
Yeah, the whole large ice cream cone probably is worse. Yeah.
So you know what? No peanut butter parfait for your horse.
That's right. That's right, because it has raw peanuts. Other potentially toxic fruits and vegetables, broccoli. And in my opinion, nobody, even humans, shouldn't eat broccoli. So that's good, fine by me. Why is it, and we still haven't figured this out, there must be a broccoli union. Because, Lindsay, every restaurant you go to, all they serve for a vegetable anymore is broccoli. That's all you get.
Case in point, went out for dinner last night, the side was broccoli. Like, broccoli is like the Antichrist. I mean, why do they always serve broccoli? Really? I was like, do you have anything else? Broccoli. Okay. I think that's broccoli, but can I have something else? You cannot have broccoli. Oh, okay. I'll let them not have broccoli then, please. No, I jest. I actually had snap peas. Much better than broccoli.
I know, but it is like a rule now. The default vegetable for all restaurants, and it doesn't matter whether they're low-end, high-end, middle restaurants, is broccoli.
It's because it's cheap, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. And easy to cook.
Yeah.
You just steam it for 2 minutes and throw it on the plate.
And even if you get it wrong, no one can tell.
Is there a vegetable that's hard to cook, Glenn? You throw them all in a steamer for 2 minutes and serve them. I'm not taking
well,
that.
The
I'm
only
not
thing you can do
in
defense, Jennifer, the only thing you can do with vegetables is cook them to within an inch of their life so that they're
right.
so mushy and overcooked
right.
that you can't really undercook. Well, you can undercook them, I guess. But, I mean, they're not hard, but you can just leave them in for too long, can't you? And then that's...
Well, not really. I like them mushy.
Spoken
do
by
you?
A true British person.
Yeah. I did that once with sprouts for Christmas dinner. My English friend that lives in America told me that I'd cook them to within an inch of their life. I said, you can cook your own Christmas dinner. I said, you can cook your own Christmas dinner next year.
We like them mushy, too. A lot of people like them firm. We like our vegetables mushy. So I'm kind of with you. If you can't mash them, they're not cooked long enough.
Sorry about my digression there, anyway.
That's okay. Here's the rest of the toxic fruits and vegetables that you should not be feeding your horse. Broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, tomatoes, peppers, raw potatoes, onions, garlic. Never saw a whole lot of horses want garlic. Spinach, and avocados. So there you go. That's what you should be feeding your horses. For horses with sugar issues, you should avoid candy bars, bread, apples, potatoes. When's the last time you cooked potatoes for your horse? And commercial treats made with cereal grains, oats, fat, molasses, barley, rice, that kind of thing. Better low-sugar choices for those fatties and sugar diabetic horses out there is alfalfa cubes or pellets, which my pony absolutely loves is alfalfa cubes, apple peels, watermelon rinds, and commercial products that are low in starch and sugar. So there you go. That's my list. I think it was better than Clinton Anderson's questions myself. That's only because... So like if I could get them wrong.
Did I laugh out loud? Sorry.
All right, let's take a break for a song. We do have a guest coming up, hopefully, providing she's not on a lot of medication, which I don't think she is.
She's probably listened to this show and said, there's no chance I'm going on there. They're going to slaughter me.
Marcia, we're nice to our guests when they
Marcia,
come
on. We love you. Don't not answer when we call you.
We'll be back with Marcia Hartford Sapp in just a minute, talking about her program and a little bit on the Western side of things. Right after we hear from Templeton Thompson, When I Get Where I'm Going.
Heartache gonna grow real tall. I won't worry about nothing at all when I get where I'm going. When I get where I'm going. When I get where I'm going. Where I'm going.
That was Templeton Thompson, When I Get Where I'm Going. You can find all of Templeton's music either at iTunes or templetonthompson.com. Also, you can go over to YouTube and see many of her videos over there. This is Glenda Geek. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am here with Lindsay White of Riders for Helmets, and we are brought to you today by High Visibility Sportswear. You can find all of their terrific products at highvisibilitysportswear.com. And if you were tuning in to hear Boyd Martin this morning, we apologize. Boyd is heavily medicated after his surgery yesterday. He had agreed to come on, but we were told that you probably wouldn't understand him anyway because he's on a lot of pain medication. And, you know, I don't blame him. He had a rod put in his leg yesterday. I think I'd be on pain medication too. But what a tough, tough time they have had between the fire there and what a tough couple of years and the accidents and everything that's going on.
You know what? They keep smiling, though, don't they? That's nice.
They do.
Anytime you see photos of Boyd and Silver, they're always smiling, and I think that's wonderful.
That is true. And he still hopes to get to the WEG this year. He's still hoping, and
yeah.
He hasn't even ruled out Rolex, which is only, what, five,
wow.
A month away, 4 weeks away?
I think that might be a little ambitious, maybe.
Yeah, I think we can probably rule out Rolex. But and that'll be a bit sad not to see Boyd driving around Rolex,
yeah.
You know? I think that'd be sad. But anyway, let's go on with the show and get to what is now our first guest. Why don't you introduce Marsha?
Well, Marsha Hartford Sapp is originally from Maine and now resides in Florida. Marsha's Equestrian Center focuses on the complete equestrian education with a focus on developing the young horse and young rider. The Equestrian Center teaches not only classical dressage, but hunter's jumpers and training the young horse from the ground up. Passionate about least resistance training, Marsha has made a name for herself nationwide with her effective training techniques and outstanding young horse development program. She has entered successfully and made top five placing three different times in the National Extreme Mustang Makeover competition. Marsha has been the president of the Southern Hunter Jumper Association, president for the Southwind Eventing and Dressage Association, and is the current coach for the Florida State University equestrian team. Good morning, Marsha.
Good morning.
I had to get a woohoo in for Florida State. I just got that in for you, okay?
All right, go Noel.
I'm pleased you came on, Marsha. After the quiz. I don't know if you were listening to our quiz, but we were being very nice about Clinton Anderson's quiz, and we're just pleased you came on after you if you were listening to that. Okay. If you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to the show afterwards and you'll know fully. I jest. So, Marsha, I've known you for a few years now and you have been a huge, huge advocate of safety, not just helmet wearing, but in kind of all aspects of equestrian safety. And I have to give kudos to you firstly because every time I see photos that you post on Facebook and you have some amazing photos that you put out there, whether it is with you on the ground or whether it's you riding or whether it's one of your students, not just children but adults as well, they always are kitted out correctly and wearing helmets and have proper footwear, attire, etc. So big, big, big kudos for that because there's so many people that will just jump on, take a snap, throw it on Facebook and they don't realize the impact that can really have on other people. So I just want to say firstly, well done for that because I've never seen a photo of you without you being correctly and safely kitted out or any of your students either.
Oh, well, thank you very much. We definitely take professionalism and safety very important in here, and I'm glad that other people see that and notice it, and it's always great to provide a good example for people to see.
Well, good, good. So you have been known for being a helmet ambassador for helmet wearing in specifically as well the Western disciplines. That we've talked about before on prior months of the show. You know, the cowboy hat really is the norm, as we all know, in that world. But, you know, there's great people out there like Cassie Slack and yourself and Mary Miller Jordan and other people that are making great strides in encouraging helmet wearing, Tammy Srantz as well. What do you think, why do you think there's so much stigma regarding wearing a helmet in Western disciplines? I mean, I know we've heard the it's tradition and, you know, it's all about the look of the rider and the outfit and everything else. But what kind of things do you hear and why do you think there is so much stigma still?
Well, there's a lot out there because there's a lot of culture and tradition that's based in Western riding. Western riders use chaps to protect their legs from ropes when they're working with ropes. They wear boots to protect their feet. And they used a hat to protect their eyes from the sun and their face from the sun. And there are so many Western riders that have grown up not wearing helmets simply because there was no tradition around it, that it's such a foreign thing for them. It's so hard for them to change later on. I think there's a lot of riders that don't wear helmets simply because they never have, not because they're necessarily opposed to it. So, again, you know, it's a lot of tradition. It's culture. It's what people are used to. It's what they're used to seeing. So it's so important for those of us that are able to provide new examples, to provide, you know, just someone in the community wearing a helmet, so that it becomes more of the norm. It becomes more of what it is that they see, because there's so much tradition in horseback riding where we take lessons, we emulate people that we admire, we try to ride like them, we try to have horsemanship like them, we try to care for our horses like those that we look up to, that it's so important for Western riders to start to wear the helmets to provide an example for people to see. My choice to wear a helmet in my Western riding was very simple. Really, it was for my family, my sisters, my brother, my parents, my husband. You know, I want to make sure that I take care of myself because I do care about my family. And I would never want to burden my family in any way should something happen to me because I did not put on a helmet. So for me to put on my Western chaps and my Western saddle, and put on my helmet was an easy thing for me to do as a Western rider.
And that is such a thing, isn't it, that people just don't think about family as well, do they, sometimes when, you know, when it's a decision, you have to also think that, you know, in the unfortunate event, if a rider was ever to have an accident and fall off, and that applies just as much to the English disciplines as it does the Western disciplines, you know, just as in Silver's case right now, Silver Martin that we were talking about on the show just, you know, this morning, there's always a care factor, isn't there? So if you have an accident, there's going to be somebody that cares for you, so you really have to take that into consideration as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's so important to take care of yourself because the way that you take care of yourself does affect others. I hold my family in such high regard, and my husband, and I love my husband, and I would never want to burden anyone if I could prevent it. So I do try to take care of myself for them as well as for myself.
Absolutely. So are you aware of anybody, like, in the Western world that's had a injury, whether it's a head injury or some kind of accident while they've been riding? Have you heard any stories of people out there?
Yeah, I mean, one comes to mind of an accident that I witnessed several years ago. I'm a riding instructor, so obviously I see my fair share of falls, sometimes due to rider inexperience, sometimes due to the elements, footing, sometimes just bad equipment or equipment failures, and sometimes due to things that we just can't possibly avoid. But several years ago, I was at a riding clinic where there were some lessons going on, and I was teaching. And a gal at the barn had come out to watch the clinic. She was not involved in it, but it was a beautiful spring day, and she got her horse out and groomed her horse and saddled her horse up. And she had planned on just walking her horse around the arenas while watching the clinics going on just to enjoy the day. And she saddled her horse and she put on her cowboy hat that day to protect her head from the sun instead of her helmet, which I had seen her wear in the past, but that day she did not because she was just planning on sitting on her horse and walking around that day to enjoy the day. And she was walking for perhaps 2 minutes, not long, and the horse stumbled and tripped. And when the horse fell, she grabbed the reins, and the horse fell on top of her. And she hit her head on the corner of a jump standard that she was near and was rendered unconscious. And we ran to her, and I called 911, and because of our location, we had a helicopter come out. And she was life-flighted to the hospital where she stayed for almost 2 weeks. And I had to contact her parents and let them know what had happened. And they were, of course, very concerned and very upset. And her parents had to come and stay in the town that we were at for several weeks while their daughter was in the hospital. And they had to get some financial assistance to be able to afford to stay with her, and they had to pay out of pocket for the helicopter ride and a lot of the hospital, and it was not only very emotionally draining for them, it was a very emotional experience for the parent, but it was very financially crippling for the family as well because the insurance did not cover everything. The young lady eventually was okay. She had to take a break from school as she was in college. She wasn't able to finish that semester nor the next because of her head injury. So she missed a lot of time from school and a lot of time from work, obviously. And her parents missed a lot of work and are probably still paying for some of those hospital bills today, several years later. So the ramifications for that family were huge. They were just huge. Yeah. And it was just a simple thing that day. It was a beautiful day, a beautiful sunny day, and she was just going to walk on her horse. And had she put on her helmet, which I had seen her do from time to time, not all the time, but from time to time instead of the cowboy hat that day, it would have saved her family and herself such an ordeal, you know, that had ramifications years to come, of course.
And it's just that one little instance, isn't it, where it takes like 30 seconds to put a helmet on, even less, and, you know, the fact that you don't, and it can be so life-changing, can't it? And whether that's long-term, short-term or long-term, you know, there's a consequence to that, and again, it affects other people. So it's just such a big thing, isn't it, to take those extra seconds just to put a helmet on?
Yeah, definitely things changed for them in the blink of an eye, and it was certainly, a long-term thing that had happened for the family, and it involved everyone. It didn't just involve the young lady, but it did involve everyone else too.
Right. So what do you think is the best way to encourage Western riders to wear helmets then? I mean, I know you've attended the safety symposium, the Riders for Helmet Safety Symposium, and we've bounced ideas around. But, you know, from your perspective, and you compete obviously in both English and Western events, but what do you feel, you know, can be done to try and encourage helmet use in Western disciplines?
I think there's three main things that we can look at to encourage the use of helmets in the Western world, and I do think it's the most important one, is by example. Myself and Mary Miller Jordan and others have really stepped up to the plate to show a positive example of wearing a helmet every time. People emulate things they like. People do things that the top professionals do because they want to emulate those people. Examples are so important. So if we can get more of our top Western riders wearing helmets, it's going to have a trickle-down effect. Their students will start wearing helmets. People that follow them will start wearing helmets. You know, it's really an example is going to be go a long way in this world. The other, of course, which you're doing a fantastic job of with Riders for Helmet, is education. Education is so important, opening people's eyes to the facts, helping to educate people in a positive manner so that they can make those decisions on their own. that's going to go a long way as well. And of course, the third, in my opinion, would be more positive attention for those that do wear helmets. Let's encourage those people. Let's show them that we're noticing that they're wearing helmets. Let's thank them for the example that they're providing, because really the use of helmets is a huge social event. You know, it's going to make things better. It's going to save people money. It's going to save lost time from injuries. It's going to save families from unfortunate things that could happen. So the positive public attention, which, again, Riders for Helmets has been doing, is going to be huge. The more people that put on a helmet, the more other people will put on a helmet. It's a big trickle-down effect, and you know, I'm happy to do my part. All my students wear helmets, even when they're riding their Western horses, their English horses, because they believe in their own self-worth, and they believe that it's the right thing to do. And they know that just that few extra seconds of putting on that helmet could really make a big difference. So, So, education, positive attention.
Absolutely. And do you think, this is just another question that's popped into my head, kind of thrown out there, but do you think, obviously helmet designs are changing as we go along, but do you think there's still a way to go, or do you think that they have come on in leaps and bounds, the kind of design that Western riders like, or do you think, you know, do you think the helmet manufacturers are basically starting to listen to the design changes that would be beneficial?
The design changes have been huge. I've been so impressed with what's happened over the last couple of years. The variety is so good. The comfort is so very good. Some very nice helmets are becoming quite affordable. They are making them to where they have much more appeal to the general market. They're not just an English-looking helmet. There's some helmets that are covered with leather that are brown that will go along very well with some of the Western riding. They're well ventilated for, you know, our summer riding here in Florida, which is the difficult thing to stay cool. There's even helmets that have sun visors to keep the sun out of your eyes, like the traditional cowboy hats do. I love everything that the helmet makers are doing. There's even a few helmet makers that are making helmets much more like the Western hats. So it's always going to be progress. I think there's always going to be improvements, but boy, I've been very impressed with the manufacturers over the last couple of years for stepping it up and really appealing to a bigger market. Again, you know, we provide an example by putting on a helmet that is attractive in our world for the Western world, and people see it and they're like, oh, it's not as bad as I thought. I've been very pleased with the helmet designs and the comfort that's out there now.
Right. And do you think helmets should be mandatory for under 16s then in the Western discipline?
I think so. Absolutely. If you're on a public ground and you're showing, absolutely. I think it should be mandatory. You know, my feeling is that minors, because of their age, aren't educated enough to make those decisions. So I do think it should be mandatory for people under the age of 16 without a question, hands down. We require seatbelts. Every single sport in the U.S. that you can look at that uses helmets requires the use of helmets. So I don't see a problem in having it in all disciplines with kids under the age of 16.
You know, even a lot of these kids, especially the boys in the Western world, look, you know, love rodeo and watch the bull riders and the bronc riders. And even the PBR, the Professional Bull Riders Association, made a little step here not too long ago where they made helmets mandatory, but they didn't really go far enough, in my opinion. They mandated helmets for all new members turning 18 on or after October 15th, 2012. And you do see a lot of them wearing their helmets now. I thought, you know, at least when those, you know, these little boys coming up are seeing their bull rider heroes wearing helmets, that's something. I mean, if they're not even wearing helmets and one of the most dangerous things you can do, you're kind of, you know, it's going to be tough to get those kids looking up to them in their cowboy hats and going. And I actually found on one of the bull riding, while you guys were talking, I found on one of the bull riding instructional websites, and it had a picture of a bull rider with all their gear and stuff, and with a cowboy hat on, and it said, you must wear a cowboy hat because it will protect you from having to get stitches.
What?
And I thought, yes, that's what it said. I know. I know. I laughed, too.
Kidding me?
Wow.
Anyway, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say to that.
What progress is being made? You know, even in bull riding, the helmets are super, the vests are super. We're going a long way there, too.
Yep.
And definitely progress is being made in the right way. I think 2 years from now, you're not going to see a bull rider wearing a Western hat. You're going to see everyone wearing a helmet because they are absolutely going to understand the importance of it.
I agree. So aside from helmets, what other safety tips do you feel you could share with our listeners, Marcia? Because I'm sure being such a great trainer and having the vast number of students that you've seen over the years, you know, there's probably other things that come to mind that you can share as well from a safety perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. We teach a lot of lessons at the center, but we also train a lot of horses. And my biggest thing that I tell people is to always make sure you have the right equipment. The right equipment will keep you safe. The right equipment, if it's properly maintained, will keep you safe. So always check your equipment. Make sure if you're doing groundwork with your horse, you have the right type of halter, the right type of lead rope. Make sure that those things are in good working order. When you put things on your horse, make sure the equipment is in good working order. Check all of your leather goods to make sure it's oiled and in good shape. What a silly thing it would be to run around a barrel on a horse and have your billet strap break, or to be posting in your saddle and have your stirrup break, or have your rein come off your horse just because you hadn't checked it recently. So check your equipment. Always check your equipment. Always know that you have the right equipment and that it's in good working order. Pay attention to your surroundings. See what your footing looks like if you're trail riding. You know, pay attention to the ditches in the road or what the footing looks like. Pay attention to things that might be around you. Vehicles, houses, fences, what types of fences are around you. If you're riding in the arena, check to make sure that other riders are, aware of their surroundings as well. Keep your eyes up. Look for the other riders. Just pay attention. You want to make sure that you pay attention to your horse, too. And that's all of us working in any equine field. Pay attention to your horse. Read your horse. The horses just aren't robots. Not every single time you bring them out of the stall are they going to be like they were the day before, the week before. So pay attention to what your horse is telling you with its body language. If you have questions about your horse, or you think some of the horse's behavior is questionable or might even be a safety issue, talk to a professional. There's always people out there happy to help keep you safe. So just pay attention to your horse, and if you need help with it, ask someone. You know, don't go online, you know, just ask someone to come out and help you, find an instructor, find a trainer, get somebody to come out and help you if you think there's safety considerations with your horse too. You know, every time you get in your car, you check to make sure it's in working order. You're not going to ride your car with three tires, so make sure your equipment and your horse are all in good order too when you're riding, and be safe, just paying attention to all those things.
That's some great tips. There really are, and I like what you said about don't go online as well, because the Google's a wonderful thing, but it's also a very bad thing in some cases, isn't it? So I'm pleased you mentioned that, because I think there's been several circumstances that I've heard stories through the grapevine where people are having issues with the horse and they kind of go online to kind of figure out what they should do rather than do what I believe would be the most appropriate thing. And you've kind of reiterated is get in touch with a trainer and somebody that can actually help them, you know, with those issues. And there's nothing wrong with looking up information on Google, certainly, but you know, there is a limit as to how much that can help you, and there are circumstances in which you really do need the help of a professional. So I'm really pleased you reiterated that for us.
Yeah, the internet is fantastic. What a wealth of information and knowledge we have gained from it. Horses are just one of those things that you must have hands-on with.
Absolutely. You know, people must, they must see and feel the horse. So it's still, you know, again, a sport that's based on great tradition, and it's still a hands-on sport. So you know, take some lessons. Have people come out and help you with your horse. Read the horse. Spend time with the horse. But, you know, it's a world-standing tradition, and we need to remember that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Marcia, and we're going to put a link to your website on the Horses in the Morning site. So everybody in the Florida area, please do check out Marcia's website and learn more about her, and perhaps she can help with your training needs and lessons. And you can find out everything great about what she does competition-wise on there as well. So thank you again so much, Marcia, and we'll let you know when this episode's live, and then you can share it with everybody that are all your students too.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Lindy. Wonderful, wonderful time talking to you.
Thank you, Marcia.
Thank you.
Well, you have a couple of things in the news as well with the riders, or with safety in general. So what do we got?
I do. I came across a couple of good ones this month. The first one being the FEI changes this year are putting focus on rider health. U.S. neurosurgeon Dr. Alan Sills, who's actually spoken many times at the Riders for Helmets Safety Symposiums, and he's been such a huge supporter of Riders for Helmets, is preparing information on concussion management and medical cover for organizers for the FEI, the latest FEI Eventing Risk Management Seminar Herd. The two-day meeting in late January in Switzerland was attended by 25 national safety officers and representatives from 22 national equestrian federations. FEI Medical Committee Chair Dr. Peter Whitehead updated the seminar on last year's topic on concussion and medical cards. He reiterated that concussion symptoms could remain for weeks and was a different condition from trauma to the brain with actual physical damage. And then the second good thing that I found, this one will interest you, Glenn. There's an alarm system for horse trouble on the way. Yes, you heard me right. A high-tech electronic system that automatically warns a rider if trouble is brewing with their horse is being developed in Europe, because as everybody knows, we develop all of the best things over there.
Okay. I was going to let that one go.
Yeah, okay. All right. Be nice. Don't be do a Clinton Anderson on me. funded by the EU's seventh framework program, Equisafe aims to develop an electronic system via GPS receivers fitted to the horse's tack. This would detect abnormal and undesirable behavior in the stable and when the horse is being handled and ridden, developers say. All data is collected and analyzed and can trigger an alarm when abnormal behavior is detected. It includes real-time tracking location of horses, online health monitoring with automatic alarms and horse movement and behavior recognition. It is intended to be used by expert and non-experts alike.
Now, wait a minute. Is this thing going to warn you you're out in the trail ride and your horse is about to buck? It's going to warn you ahead of time that your horse is about to buck? Is that what you're talking about?
I think that's what they're trying to say based on behavioral analysis. Yeah. So the project is aiming to help combat the high number of equestrian incidents, including those that go unrecorded. All I can tell you is with some of the crazy thoroughbreds I've owned in my life, this thing would have been going off louder than a fire alarm.
All the time.
Just saying.
Anybody with a pony.
That's right. Anybody with a little pony. Did I ever tell you that story, just very quickly, because I know we're getting short on time, but did I ever tell you that story when I was about, I must have been about 8 or 9 years old, and my good friend Emma had a little pony called Amos, and it was like the devil child pony. It really was. And she could never catch it, so she sent me in the paddock to catch the pony. So off I promptly trotted, full of confidence. Well, the little thing let me catch it, and in a moment of lax safety, talk about safety, concentration, I had a really loose lead rein, and as I was walking it towards the gate, the blooming thing stopped. I turned around, he spun around and kicked me and left a hoof print bottom mark of on my bottom in the shape of a hoof print, and it really hurt. I couldn't sit down for like a week. It really, really hurt. Amos was like a devil child pony, so those ponies just cannot be trusted, I'm telling you.
my foot is my black and blue foot is evidence of that today, actually.
Those ponies are crazy thoroughbreds.
They keep you alert. They keep you alert.
That's right.
So now thing I still don't quite understand. So I'm reading this article, and it says it encompasses rider monitoring, including detection sensors that can raise an alarm to a nearby instructor and headquarters if, for example, a rider steals in distress. We went to the that Million Dollar Jumper show last night. There were a lot of riders that felt distressed last night. I think it would have been going off the whole night. I really don't know how it's gonna tell one that your horse is about to have an eruption, and two, that what normal distress and serious distress is. I don't
know. You know
how
what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna make it my endeavor to get those people on the show next month.
Yeah, well, that would be fascinating.
I'm going to get them on so they can explain it, because the article, in fairness, does not really tell you how it works. So it's going to be my endeavor to get those people on the show next month.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that they're using GPS and they're probably using, you know, all kinds of sensors.
Yeah,
but
you have, like, little sticky pads that you stick on the horse and rider or what? I mean, I want to know the ins and outs of how this thing works before I pass comment. So I think I'm going to try and find out who they are and get them on the show. How does that sound?
I want to know how it's figuring out what my horse is thinking and that he's going to buck before he knows he's going to buck.
Do you know what would be even better? If they sent us a trial kit and we can put it on your driving pony or something and so then send him past some really scary stuff and see if you feel the stress or he does. See if it works. I'm serious. Like, if people want us to put these things out on the show and form opinions on them, they need to send us they've got to, you know.
It sounds like this is in the works at this point. It doesn't sound like it's finished, but yeah, let's see if we can get somebody on for next time.
Maybe they've got a prototype that they can send us.
There you go. Well, let's at least get them on the show and figure out what's going on. I'd love to know. They give some names here, so you might be able to track them down.
I'll track them down. That's my mission.
It's your mission. Well, thank you once again. We're sorry that we couldn't get Boyd on the air today. He's too drugged up. He's out of it. But, you know, Boyd is one tough cookie. He's broken and had more surgeries than probably any eventer I know. So, and he always comes back, and he always comes back very quickly and before the doctor says he's allowed to. So we'll see him back.
He may just be at Rolex. You never know. I wouldn't put it past him to be scratched for nine to be at, like, Rolex. Yeah.
And he was funny because he said yesterday on his blog, he said, well, you know, once I get the rod, I'll be able to just walk out of here. And I thought, no, not so much.
Do you know what? That could be a bonus, though, going around Rolex for the size of those cross-country jumps, being on some pain meds. I mean, it could actually take some of the fear out of you. I mean, it might not be a bad thing. I'm just saying.
That is true. Hey, I did post yesterday, too, on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page. I posted a great video done by our friend Lisa Wallace, who's been on the show many times here recently. Lisa is the one that had that trained up the Mustangs, and she also is a eventer and has a couple of event horses. Well, she was at a CIC One Star over the weekend at Poplar Place, and she posted a video of her on her cross country course. Jennifer, did you get a chance to watch that?
I haven't yet.
She has great communication. I see why she does so well with the Mustangs, because she has just as great communication with the horse. You can tell she really likes her horse.
And she wears a helmet. She does wear a helmet, too, so kudos to her.
Yeah, and she just, you know, she wears a helmet. You're right, whether she's English or Western, she wears a helmet. But she just had great communication with the horse. I've watched many of the cross-country videos like this, and, you know, they're good, but I just liked how she talked to her horse here. So I think you'll like that. Just head under my horses in the morning and you'll find that. And then Alex chimed in, I freeze grapes for hot summer shows. The old owner of my house would give them marshmallow pies from Little Debbie. I've also heard you can give licorice, but they'll test positive on a drug test. So that related to our food. I never thought about freezing grapes. That would probably work. Little treat.
Might, yeah.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you, Lindsay, for joining us again. We really appreciate it. Give out your website.
It's ridersforhelmets.com and highvisibilitysportswear.com. And don't forget to buy the great Clinton Anderson DVD at clintonanderson.com.
Now I am going to send Clinton a bill. We'll be back here tomorrow.
Just think what
what you're going to save in legal costs. It's all right. All good.
We'll be back here tomorrow morning with Jamie. We'll be back. And we'll be having the Celebrity Trivia Challenge brought to you by EquityMFG.com. And our celebrity this week is Jumper Rider, Grand Prix Rider, Emily Thompson, who's a lot of fun. And I'm sure you'll enjoy hearing her play one of our listeners in the Celebrity Trivia Challenge here tomorrow morning on the show. Thank you, Lindsay. Take care, everybody. Be safe. Wear your helmets.